most grandparents just want to be grandparents. They don't want to be parents all over again. So it's a burden because they're obviously much older, and parenting isn't simple, so having to do it all over again is hard work. But they face some other burdens because often, almost by definition, the relationship with the their own sons and daughters is strained or broken down completely. And so when it comes to just do basic things like authorising school excursions, getting on a Medicare card, all this consenting to medical treatment, all those practical things about looking after a child, they face a lot of red tape and bureaucracy.
And how does the statutory declaration hope to address that kind of thing?
Well, it clarifies their status as an informal caregiver, so, and it's really about getting agencies to sign up to acknowledging it. All agencies will eventually provide benefits to grandparents, just that they make them jump through a lot of hurdles to get there. And so by producing one document that clarifies the status, it will just cut through a lot of that red tape for grandparents.
When you say agencies, who do you actually mean? Like government departments or
government
schools?
Government departments, really everyone that deals with local government, state government, federal government. We're obviously working on state government agencies at the present, but we think that we can extend it to all other agencies that have anything to do with where entitlements and services really require somebody to demonstrate that they're the parent or guardian or are in some permanent or ongoing informal caring role.
And do you think that as this is a national first, that hopefully it can set a precedent all around Australia?
Yeah, look, I think it should. I mean, it's a pretty simple idea. There's no reason why we couldn't use a process like this in all states and territories, and we'd also be wanting the Commonwealth to sign up to it, because Medicare and Centrelink are a couple of the services where people do run into some difficulties.
One of the problems with it, though, probably going back to what you said earlier, is that grandparents aren't traditionally recognised as the primary caregiver, and that might be an obstacle to it becoming a national idea.
Well, I mean, I think it's I think what we now know is that there are a lot of grandparents out there doing this. There is, unfortunately, that a lot of parents that can't or won't care for their own children, and obligations are falling back on other family members, including grandparents. So it's a big issue now, and a lot of grandparents are now raising this. And so I think it's a big enough issue for there to be a national response.
While I was down at the forum, I also caught up with Denise Langton, who is the primary caregiver for her grandson. She told me about her thoughts on the new declaration and about her experience as a grandparent carer.
Our son, who has an intellectual disability, and his partner also had some form of a disability, didn't realise what it meant to bring up a child, even though we had talked about it through the pregnancy. It got to the point when our grandson was 4 that we had to step in. He was in and out of hospital a bit. He got lost a couple of times through no fault of their own. It was just the circumstances. So, and we were advised that it was time that we stepped in. And we went through the family court to have him live with us.
So I imagine it's a bit difficult for you, even without any bureaucratic red tape, which prevents you getting the services you need.
Oh, definitely, definitely. And since we've been involved with Grandparents for Grandchildren, we're amazed at what some grandparents actually have to do to keep these children safe. If we go through the court, taking the family court, it's very expensive, and not everybody can afford to do that. And even then, when you get your final orders, you still have problems. You might need to have surgery for the child, and you go to the hospital and you have your piece of paper and they say, yes, but where are the parents? You know, or you need a passport. Yes, but where are the parents? So even when you have documentation, it doesn't always run smoothly.
So how does the affidavit actually work? What processes do you need to go through to become a part of it?
Okay, you will pick up an affidavit or get on the website, because it's on the website, I think, as today. You will fill it in. You will have to have it witnessed and signed by a JP. Then you will be able to take it to, just say, the school to enrol your child or grandchild.
And is there any worry that this kind of document might make it easier for people whose intentions aren't actually in the best interest of the child?
We have talked about that. We hope not. We hope we've covered all the bases. But you never know. I mean, that's life. We're just going to keep our fingers crossed and hope that whatever comes up, we will be able to meet the need and overcome it.